I look at the facts. Forget about the emotion. I don't care that whatever Trump has done in his personal life. I don't care. I'm looking at the policy. I don't care what Biden has done in his personal life. I don't care if Biden is 99 and can't even speak. I'm looking at his policy. All right. This is awesome. It's a Saturday, July 27, 2024, 1:04 p.m. Pacific time. We're shooting another episode of The Trending Podcast. Appreciate everyone that's been sticking by us throughout this time. We've gone over several different topics, trending ones, opinions, in the last several months, and couldn't have done this without our producer, Matthew Quay. Thank you so much for doing this for us. I want to dive into something very, might sound a little controversial, but I think it has to be said, right? As you know, what we typically do on this show is we speak freely. That's the idea of this show. And one of the things that we try to focus on mainly is what's trending. And as you all know, with the election around the corner, it's a perfect time to talk about what we're seeing and what we're hearing people saying, most especially with the candidates we have for the United States presidential election. I'm going to call this episode a tale of two democracies. And y'all probably wondering why. It's a tale of two democracies because we have two presidential candidates, former President Trump, and now Vice President Kamala Harris, the potential nominee for the Democratic presidential ticket. Previously, it was President Joe Biden, who announced he won't be running for re-election. I think far too often, as individuals, we get too caught up in the emotions of politics, which is fair. I'm not going to pick sides. I just want to give you some facts, with the hope that you can make your own conclusion when the time comes. We have two presidential candidates who have a different version of what they believe democracy should be. And it's important that to judge these candidates, we need to go back and look at what are their policies, positions, what are some of the things that they've said or not said in the past? What are the positions they've taken on different policies? And what's their moral compass, right? These are the ways in which we judge candidates, at least in the United States. When we look at President Trump, we can go back to how he started his career. This is a man that was successful in real estate, although just like anybody in life, we have our ups and downs, whether it's in our professional life or personal life. And so it would be disingenuous to paint him with a brush of someone who's not successful, because he has been successful. In fact, let's not forget, he actually ran this country for 4 years. And we're talking about the greatest country in the world, the greatest country ever known to mankind. So he's served this country, and so it would be disingenuous to just simply ignore what he brings to the table. It's fair to say that he's a man that has been successful in real estate. He's been a man that has, you know, dabbled in a lot of things, even reality show on TV, if y'all remember The Apprentice. Former President Trump had that going for him. He has success with kids. Of course, in 2016, ran, became president of this country, ran an election, won. So he's a man that has accomplished quite a few things in his life that some of us would dream of, if we want to be frank. But I cannot talk about President Trump without acknowledging what happened to him just a couple of weeks ago, not too long. There was an attempted assassination on his life. There is no place for violence anywhere in the world, whether it's in this country, doesn't matter. There's no place for violence. And violence is never the answer. I think one of the things that's made United States one of the greatest democracy in the world, and quite frankly, one of the greatest country in the world, is the idea that we can debate, we can have strong disagreements, we can have strong opinions, but we can still break bread together. We can still watch a Super Bowl together. We can still watch a basketball game together. In spite of our differences, what has made us great as a country is that we can put those things aside for a second and focus on what's important. And so the notion that we are divided, I would disagree. I think we have a stronger opinion than we've had in several years. With that said, I condemn the attempt assassination on former President Trump's life. I think it's barbaric. I think it's animalistic. And I think it doesn't represent who we are as people, as a country, as individual. So I'm happy to see that President Trump didn't die. I'm happy he did not die. I'm so happy to see that. I'm happy he's okay. And I'm also relieved to know that the threat to his life was neutralized by our men and women in the Secret Service, in the police force, all across the country, working tirelessly to keep us safe. So it's important that I acknowledge that before we dive into what we are here to talk about today. With that said, if you go back prior to the rally where an attempt on the former President Trump's life, you could see the debate between former President Trump and President Biden. In that debate, as an individual watching that debate, although President Biden wasn't at his best in terms of articulating his vision and what he's accomplished for the United States of America, but I believe what he was able to do and show us is he does have verifiable records that he can run on. Whether you agree with his policies or not, he did accomplish something. And so for me, when I look at that debate, although the president wasn't at his best in articulating his vision and what he's accomplished and why we should give him 4 more years, but what he did do is he showed us that he's human. And that's how we are as a country. We believe that when you put the human first, your authentic self, that's something we can resonate with, we can embrace in spite of our differences, whether it's religion, sports, or sexual orientation, or even gender or race. And so I will cut President Biden the slack on that. In fact, I was disappointed when I saw that the president dropped out of the race, because I believe that that one debate does not define his career in politics. This is a man that has served this country for 40 plus years. And so the notion that the polls are saying he's going to lose badly to Trump, yada, yada, yada. The same thing was said in 20, I believe, 2016, and keep me honest, I might have my date wrong, but when Trump ran against Clinton, everybody said Trump was going to lose. He did not lose, he won. The polls were polling different at the time as well. So I think for once we need to put the polls to rest. I think at the end of the day, the American people are smart enough to understand what's real and what's not real. And at the end of the day, they can make that call for themselves. But I did want to fact check some of the things that I believe the president did. Former President Trump did while he was in office. One of the things that I could lean on, because I think it was very important for us to kind of look at policy. I think when you're picking a candidate, looking at a candidate from a policy standpoint is how you can define whether this policy is going to help you and your family. And that's what it comes down to, right? So when we go back to when former President Trump was in office, one of the key things that he pushed for was America First. And so the idea of climate change was foreign to him because he's thinking, this doesn't help us. This is going to slow us down, right? Cutting gas emission and that stuff, you know, with China and other countries involved. His idea was, this is going to slow us down. It's going to make us not a superpower, right? And so as part of Trump's America's First policy, one of his energy plans started with an announcement in 2017 when he withdrew the U.S. from the Paris climate change. And prior to that, if you guys remember, former President Barack Obama was the one who signed the United States up for the Paris Climate Action Plan. And that allowed agency head to review policies, report on obstruction of domestic energy production. And this led to a change in the approval process for oil drilling on public land, which increased the rate of approval by 36%. And so in 2019, the Trump administration replaced the Clean Power Plan with the Affordable Clean Energy Rule, giving states more power to establish regulations and determine the best methods for reducing emissions from existing coal-fired power plants. This is according to the balancemoney.com, citing that. That's not my original idea. So this was one of the key first things that President Trump did when he was in office, was he basically withdrew us from the Paris Climate Agreement. The second thing that the president tackled was trade. Trump trade policies sought to reduce the U.S. trade deficit. And his first action was the U.S. withdrawal from further negotiation on the Trans-Pacific Partnership, also known as a TPP. And also, if you guys remember, the North American Free Trade Agreement, the NAFTA, which was one of the, which is actually the world's largest trade agreement. The Trump administration renegotiated NAFTA with Canada and Mexico, creating the United States, Mexico, and Canada Agreement, which is USMCA. And the most significant change to NAFTA was that auto companies were required to manufacture more parts within USMCA trade areas. So basically, United States, Mexico, and Canada. So if you're going to build cars, you had to manufacture more parts either in the United States, Mexico, or Canada. So this was something that former President Trump did while he was in office. Another piece to that was he promoted protectionism to defend the U.S. industry from foreign competitions. Another key thing that President Trump did while he was in office was it withdrew the U.S. from the Iranian nuclear deal, which basically cited that Iran wasn't compliant with that deal. The agreement, if you guys remember, was signed in 2015 with the Barack Obama's administration, essentially removing sanctions on Iranian oil export in exchange for reduction in the country's nuclear program. In March 2018, the Trump administration announced a 25% tariff on steel and 10% tariff on aluminum import. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce at the time warned that the U.S. auto production would decrease by 4% and cost 624,000 Americans their jobs if affected countries were to retaliate with their own tariff. Again, just focusing specifically on the policies that President Trump enacted while he was in office. President Trump went further and implemented a trade restriction with China in an attempt to lower the U.S. trade deficit and encourage Americans to buy more domestic goods. All of this that I'm listing out are all blueprint for protectionism, isolationism, whether you agree or disagree with it. These were former President Trump's policy, again, under the umbrella of America First. And I'm citing the balancemoney.com for some of this fact, so feel free to look that up. Another piece that I want to call out was he imposed three tariffs on a total of $250 billion in Chinese on Chinese import goods. So at the time, the Federal Reserve estimated that this tariff would cost an average household about $419 per year. In 2019, President Trump imposed a fourth tariff. He raised the tariff to 25% on $200 billion worth of goods, The Fed estimated that this tariff, combined with the previous 2018 tariff, would cost an average household of $831 per year. The Chinese retaliated with tariff on $110 billion of U.S. product in December 2019. Trump announced a trade deal between the U.S. and China. In the phase one trade deal, China agreed to increase imports of U.S. goods by $200 billion annually, and the U.S. agreed to cut the tariff on some goods by half, right? On healthcare, President Trump focused on two areas: addressing healthcare issues and reducing drug costs. He did the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, the ACA. He tried to repeal and replace the ACA a few times, also known as Obamacare. His goal was to reduce spending on Medicaid by allowing states to establish work requirements and reduce the number of people eligible for the program. This is facts online. On lowering drug prices, Trump signed a 2020 executive order requiring health centers to pass any discount on insulin to their patient through participating in enhanced Medicare Part D plans. A month's supply of insulin was available for $35 copay. On the U.S. national debt, the U.S. national debt increased by 36% in less than 4 years under President Trump's administration. In October 2020, it surpassed 27 trillion, excuse me. While the debt more than tripled in 2020, it was mainly due to spread of COVID-19 and of course the economic stimulus packages that was passed by his administration and President Biden administration. On immigration, he focused on reducing illegal immigration and eliminating illegal immigration. So Trump worked to complete the war along the border with Mexico and lessen the number of refugees and asylum seekers by making the application process a little bit more difficult. So between 2017 and 2020, the Trump administration set stricter guidelines for illegal immigration applicants, such as specific refugee guidelines restricting approvals. He also granted federal and state authorities more power to track immigrants, investigate violations, and enforce immigration laws. Trump policies allow authorities to set up detention centers for immigrants entering under non-legal means. In 2018, Trump instated a zero-tolerance policy that separated immigrants' children from their parents before it was ended due to widespread outcry. So I'm going to stop there for a second. These are all policies that former President Trump enacted while he was in office. So some of these policies depend on what side you fit in or you bang on, if you will. Whether it's Republican or Democrat, you might find some of these policies great. And if you're on the Democratic side, you might find some of these policies, far too controversial, right? It's not my position to tell you whether or not these policies are good or great. I think we can look back at the result and then we can draw a conclusion on what they are. I have my conclusion on this and I'll save that for the end of the show. In conclusion, I think that on President Trump, I think President Trump did what he wanted to do when he was in office. And I don't anticipate any changes to that. I think what we would see if he wins in November is a continuation of those policies. When we look at President Biden by the numbers, when he took office, the economy added about 14 million jobs. The number is now 4.9 million higher than before the pandemic. The unemployment rate dropped back down to the pre-pandemic low, and inflation obviously spiked to the highest level it's been in the 40 years. The average weekly earnings haven't kept pace with prices after adjusting for inflation. I'm citing factcheck.org for this statistics. The crime data show a decrease in murders in the US between 2022 and 2023. The S&P 500 has increased by 28.2%. The number of apprehension of those trying to cross the southern border illegally remains near historically high. For the 12 month ending in November, apprehension are up 296% under President Biden. And for the third straight year, gun purchases declined as measured by background checks for firearm sales. Crude oil production was up 12.7%. Imports are up 8.7%. The trade deficit for goods and services are also about 20.9%. And the number of people without health insurance has gone down under President Biden. Enrollment in Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, was at the highest point as it has been. And the number of people who were dependent on federal food assistance declined by more than 700,000. Again, I'm citing factcheck.org for the statistics. And the publicly held debt has increased by 24.7%. So when you look at President Biden and former President Trump, one of the things that the takeaway based on these numbers was under President Trump, unemployment was high. Under President Biden, unemployment came down. Under President Trump, immigration was down. Under President Biden, immigration was high, both legal and illegal. Under President Trump, the deficit went up. Under President Biden, the deficit went up, right? And Americans are making way more money than they were under President Biden versus under President Trump. This again, this is just based on the numbers. Obviously, former President Trump was unlucky with the pandemic, so that may have contributed to the lack of favorable numbers to him there. But the numbers are the numbers, right? Doesn't matter what hands you were dealt. You kind of have to just go with the flow. So when you look at these two individuals, one was for globalization and one was for isolationism. We can argue that under former President Trump, isolationism worked or not. And I'll let you draw that conclusion. Under President Biden, we can argue that globalization worked or not. I'll let you argue that as well. But the bottom line is, when we look at our GDP from 2017 to 2023, our GDP has been at the highest it's ever been under President Biden. Under President Trump, it was lower significantly. So I'm going to pause and pivot over to the presumptive Democratic presidential nominee, Vice President Kamala Harris. You know, a lot of things that people like to say about Vice President Kamala Harris is a prosecutorial record when she was a prosecutor in the Bay Area, where she was tough on crime. I believe that when Vice President Harris was an off still in office, but during the 2020 presidential primary, she worked tirelessly to kind of shed some of our tough on crime image and ran a little bit to the left of Biden on most criminal justice issues, including solitary confinement, federal mandatory minimum sentences, and decriminalizing border crossing. Candidate Harris and Biden also split on clemency, right? And again, I'm citing here for the Vice President Kamala Harris talk on themarshallproject.org. That's what I'm citing for this. Vice President Harris proposed creating a federal sentencing review unit that would consider early release for people who have served at least 10 years of sentences of 20 years or more. And this was something that Vice President Harris pushed for. If you guys also remember, she was tapped to secure the border as well. Obviously, that didn't go well because under the Biden administration, illegal immigration was through the roof. Again, I'm not sitting here bashing one candidate over the other. My goal here is to paint a picture of the policies that these individuals have taken while they were in office, and so that we can draw a conclusion from there rather than drawing our conclusion based on emotion of whether or not they like people of color or whether they like people who have different sexual orientation. I do believe that these are policies that we should pay attention to. I think if someone is anti-LGBTQ plus, that's something that if you are for LGBTQ plus, you should be able to vote accordingly there. I also believe that the day-to-day policies that are affect our life beyond our sexual orientation should is also important, like Can I put food on the table to feed my family? Do I have a job? Is gas through the roof? Am I safer? Am I better off under one versus the other? I think when you look at all three candidates, with now from President Biden dropping out of the election, so now it's between Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Trump, you can tell that former President Trump is going to continue his policies that he had when he was in office. And Vice President Kamala Harris will pretty much continue what the Biden administration is already doing. And don't forget, under the Biden administration, Congress signed the infrastructure plan, which repairs our bridges, roads, gave unions jobs, while also lowering the healthcare costs. Under former President Trump, we didn't have an infrastructure bill. We did have tax cuts. And according to my understanding of the tax cut, some of those tax cuts were more favorable to those who were high earners, or if you will, the top 1%. But also, it affected folks that were living in some blue states where taxes were higher, for example, New York, California, whereby you can only claim a certain amount on your property tax. And then all of a sudden, there's a cutoff. But those who are rich, and when I say wealthy people, enjoy those tax breaks. And as you can tell, former President Trump has talked about a few times on TV or even on his Truth social media of how he was the genius for not paying a lot of taxes because he was able to do a lot of exemptions and whatnot. But that's the system. You can't blame him for that, right? He just knows how to game the system, and he game the system, and that's not his fault. Those are the laws. Remember, we cannot judge people based on morality. We have to focus on what's legal and what's not legal. And everything that he's done when it comes to his taxes, at least as far as we know and what we've seen, is legal, right? Up until he had the case in New York where he was trying to pass on one of his expense, an Osh money expense, as a business expense. And I think the jury of his peers found him guilty of that. So he was convicted, felony. He's a convicted felon because of that particular case in New York. It's important that we focus on, again, the facts of who these individuals are. When we go back and look at President Biden's record, he's done nothing but good things for middle class, in my opinion. At the same time, taxes are at an all-time high. Some of us want to keep more of the money we're making. But at the same time, no taxes, no social programs. You're either for globalization, more taxes to the rich, better infrastructure, a respectable country on the global stage, or isolationism, less taxes to the wealthy, with the middle class picking up the brunt of it, deficit increase because of the tax cuts, and we may or may not be respected on the global stage because you gotta understand. Part of why America is respected on the global stage is because we take the lead in everything. In the President Trump's policy, he's not looking to do that on the global stage. He's simply trying to stay home, make home stronger, and let everybody else worry about that stuff on the global stage. But you cannot become a superpower or stay a superpower if you're not patrolling the world. That's just what it is. Let's call it what it is. We are a superpower because we have the biggest navy, the biggest military in the world. We spend more, we work hard, we go on vacations, we travel abroad, we spend our money, the dollar is strong. Countries that want to be democracy, we jump in there and save them. We go against dictators and we tell them to, F off. That's why we're a superpower. We're not a superpower because we told our troops to come home and stay within the borders. You don't become a superpower that way. You become a superpower by staying on the global stage, and it comes at a cost. It comes at a cost of life, wealth, time, a lot of energy. So we have to decide what we want to do. And you also have to keep in mind, if we're not the world police, who's going to be? China, Russia, Iran, North Korea. I don't know. So we are one of the most successful democracies in the world, and we're a success story. And what has made us successful, the reason why people want to come to this country is because when you come here and you work hard, you get a good education if you can get one, or you go to vocational school and you learn some skills as a blue collar, you will live great. You live nice. You live a middle class life here. I'm a testament. Came here as an immigrant, did what I need to do, got an education, got lucky in terms of getting a decent job, and I'm able to feed my family. Right. So if President Trump's moves forward with his immigration plans, forget about ICE Cube people coming in and contributing to our country. What makes our country great is because it's a melting pot for everybody with different skills, different personality, different history, different culture coming together for one reason only, the freedom to live happy and pursue liberty. That's why everybody's coming here. And so I don't know if the isolationism theory or approach of President Trump or former President Trump will serve us well. If anything, we might still have the strongest military in the world, but we're sure not going to be a superpower anymore. So you got to ask yourself, are you comfortable with China running the world? Are you comfortable with Russia running the world? Are you comfortable with Iran running the world? Because what that means is those freedom you enjoy today when you go overseas may not be there, because bigger countries would might swallow smaller countries willingly. And guess what? There's nothing we can do about it because we are now practicing isolationism. You look at Ukraine, for example, when Russia invaded Ukraine. Whether Russia's reasons are valid or not, I'm not looking to dive into that. The bottom line is they invaded Ukraine. Bottom line, that's what happened. And if the US and the West hadn't stepped up and helped Ukraine, Ukraine may never exist anymore. Ukraine would pretty much have been Russia by now, straight up. So these are things you got to think about when you're voting. How do you want to leave the world? And what does the world look like when the US is not on the global stage helping countries that cannot defend themselves? Letting immigrants who are skillful come in here, allowing those who came here illegally but are contributing to our society get amnesty so they can continue to contribute to our society. Because let's be honest, and not to sound racist, because I'm not, when you go out in the valley and you look at the vegetation, who do you see picking the crops? It's sure not black people, and it's not no white people or Asian people. I see more people from land descent doing that. And so whether you want to cry by illegal immigration or not, will you pick your home food? Will you? So I think giving those people who are contributing to our country an opportunity to become citizens because they've done for our country what we cannot do, I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's fair. I think it's fair. And so my conclusion here is on healthcare, President Trump dropped the ball. President Biden didn't. On immigration, President Biden dropped the ball because he increased illegal crossing across the border. President Trump didn't. On crime, President Biden did not drop the ball. President Trump did not drop the ball. On deficit, President Trump dropped the ball. President Biden did not drop the ball. On jobs, President Trump dropped the ball. President Biden did not drop the ball. On inflation, President Trump did not drop the ball. President Biden dropped the ball. When you tally everything across the board, President Biden is ahead of President Trump. This is why a vote for Kamala Harris is a vote for President Biden. And it's a vote for the same policies of President Biden. So, yeah, you have your answers. The last piece I want to add is Project 2025. I haven't had a lot of time to actually read through it completely and understand what it is. But from a high level, one of the things that Project 2025 wanted to do, And this was constructed by a firm called Heritage Foundation, which aligns with conservative Republicans. It's changing how FBI operates, eliminating the Department of Education, defunding the Department of Justice, reversing Biden-era policies attempted to reduce climate change, stopping cybersecurity efforts to combat mis- and disinformation, changing immigration policies, restricting access to abortion, removing LGBTQ plus protections, cutting ties completely with China, reversing protections against discrimination in housing, changing federal job classification. I completely disagree with everything Project 2025 stands for. I think a woman and a doctor should decide what they want to do. It's her body. I think everybody should be able to be whatever they want to be when it comes to their gender, provided their parents and their doctors sign off on it or lack thereof. So removing LGBTQ plus protection is insane. Okay? No one should be discriminated against because of what they want to be or what their gender is. That's just, we're not in the 1950s or 30s. Changing immigration policy is only going to punish us because guess what? Not all of Americans know math. You go to tech companies, half of the people that are in there coding are not Americans. They're immigrants from India, from China, from Africa. Because our people here don't want to do math, which is why we remain the technology hub of the world, which is why we're ahead on AI, although China is a little bit ahead of us, which is why Silicon Valley is always booming with tech jobs. You look at Zoom. It was an Asian-born immigrant who created Zoom. Look at SpaceX. South African-born immigrant who created SpaceX. So immigrants have contributed to our country. Make no mistake about that. Shutting that down will set us back. Cybersecurity. Why do I want disinformation on my computer? Why would I want someone lying to me about what's true and what's not true? I want that to be streamlined so that the true information can come in front of me. Why would I want to defund the Justice Department? You say it all the time. You do the crime, you do the time. If you're not doing any crime, why are you worried about Justice Department? If you're just waking up every morning and doing the right thing legally and morally, there's no reason why you should be worried about Justice Department. So the idea that defunding the Justice Department is going to work is insane because these were the same people that were saying defund liberals were crying about defunding the police. I remember when George Floyd died and BLM came out and said defund the police. Conservatives were against that. Now we're saying defund the Justice Department. Who is the law enforcement arm of this country? Which one is it? You cannot have it both ways. This is the most insane one. Eliminating the Department of Education. That is just poof. Look, one of the things that makes this country great is our blue collar workers who are very skilled. But you know what makes it greater? Education. We are number one in tech because of people who come here and go to school and study and become great at what they do. And they start a company that hires a lot of people. So when you eliminate Department of Education, what message are you sending? You're basically saying you don't need education. And guess what? We will be behind. I'm trying to think of the poorest country in the world in education, and I can't even think of one right now. That's what we'll be. So I am vehemently against Project 2025. Although former President Trump has distanced himself from this, guess what? The people who gave him a list of those who he should put on the Supreme Court are the same people who wrote this thing. So whether or not they're aligned with him, I don't know. So far, so good. It sounds like some of the things that he wants to do. So there you have it. You decide what side you're on. I'm an independent voter. I look at the facts. Forget about the emotion. I don't care that whatever Trump has done in his personal life. I don't care. I'm looking at the policy. I don't care what Biden has done in his personal life. I don't care if Biden is 99 and can't even speak. I'm looking at his policy. I don't care what Kamala Harris has done in her personal life. I'm looking at her policy. And that's how I will vote. And that's how you should vote. Vote on policy, not on emotion, and not on what people are doing in their personal life. Because guess what? Personal life doesn't always translate to policy. Because guess what? You could be a crazy person at home, but you sure don't carry that craziness to your work, right? Because that's what you get paid. So we got to separate these things, ladies and gentlemen. On that note, I'll pause. I'll pause and I'll say this. Vice President Kamala Harris is for democracy. Former President Trump is for democracy. But it's a tale of two different democracies. Don't forget, here we speak freely. Chime in, share your opinions, share your feedback. Thank you so much for listening. On that note, I'm out.